Mr. Brown, Rio 2. Right, Mr. Brown, we're talking about your registration for call-up and your introduction into the Army. Could you just talk us through the process of actually arriving at this Army camp and what actually happened? And so you got a letter through the post saying that...
Yes, you got a letter through the post saying that you had to report, and I had to report at Chichester. It would be the Sussex, the Royal Sussex headquarters, I think, at Chichester. And when you get there, it's the usual thing. You get taken through, and you start getting your clothes, and after you've got your clothes, the first job seems to be you've got to pack up your own clothes in a parcel. You're given various sheets of brown paper to pack up your own clothes and get them sent off back home.
And the army kit that you're issued with, could you just describe what that was? What that was?
Well, it starts with socks and boots and underpants and shirts and battle dress, overcoat, hat, tin hat, and so on.
And did these items fit? Did your battle dress fit?
It wasn't too bad, actually. It fitted really well.
Now, you'd been posted to Chichester, and you're from Jarrow. What did you think about that?
I thought it was very strange. I thought, well, why on earth send somebody from Jarrow right down to Chichester to train when there must be various training camps around Durham, North Yorkshire, Northumberland? And I was really, truly amazed at that.
Now, when you got there, was there anybody else from the North East region? Were there other men from that area?
There was one man from Northumberland. And I travelled down on the train with him, and he just happened to be going to the same place, strangely enough. I can't remember his name or anything about him apart from that, but there was one other going down from Northumberland.
So where were your fellow recruits? Where were they from generally at Chichester?
All over the place.
So they weren't Sussex men by any means either?
No.
Now, could you just describe the setup in the barracks, you know, your accommodation, what that was? And
well, we're just in huts, and I suppose about 20, 30 to a hut. Quite simple, straightforward, the usual bed and nothing much more.
So what else happened on your first day? You got your kit. Did you get your army number at this stage?
I don't know when I got my army number, but I should think it would be at immediately.
And what was that?
14286614. It's engraved somewhere.
Now, what else happened on the first day? Any other memories of this?
No, I can't remember anything else about the first day. Those are the main things, getting the kit and packing up all this kit to go home.
What was your introduction to army discipline? What's the first thing that stands out in terms of being given orders?
I think it was the way you were spoken to. You know, you weren't really spoken to. You were sort of shouted at more than spoken to. And I think that came possibly as a bit of a shock. But I can't remember the discipline being terribly strict or horrible during that 6 weeks training period. I think it was just taken for granted that you obeyed orders, and being young and new to everything, you didn't argue very much.
Now, about how many men would be in your particular hut, do you think?
I think about 20 to 30.
And would there be a trained soldier assigned to you at this stage?
No, I can't remember anybody being in that little barrack room who was trained. They were all recruits.
So what was the first training exercise? What was the first piece of, what did they try to teach you first in the 6 weeks?
Well, the teach you first to get on parade, stand in line, tallest at the ends and smallest in the middle, etc. And right turn, left turn, march, halt, about turn, and really it was drill.
And how long did that last for?
Well, the whole period of training was 6 weeks at Chichester. But you went on from drill to other various things that you had to do as regards rifles and Bren guns and so on.
So in the early stage, it was drill.
Mm.
I mean, take us through a typical day, just in this first, maybe the first week that you were there. What time would you be woken up, and then what would happen during that day? In the very early days of being a recruit.
Well, I think that the days were all mapped out in advance. And you rose at Reveille, and you had your breakfast, and you started sort of periods of training. And it might start off with drill in the morning, and then you might have a session on the Bren gun, how to take it to pieces, how to put it together again. And if you were really good, you had to try and do it blindfolded. That was the state you were aiming at, so you could do it more or less in the dark and by touch. And they'd take you to various places where you could fire a few rounds, and then you had lectures on one thing and another, and the day just progressed like that.
And what time would the training end during the day? When would you have the time to yourself?
Well, at the beginning you weren't allowed out of barracks, but I don't think the training would go on after about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
And then what would happen then?
Well, you were left to polish your kit and try and keep smart, and there was a place where you could go, sort of little naffy place, and where you could go and chat amongst yourselves, drink tea, have buns, and do what you want, write letters home.
How did you adapt to it? You'd gone from, you know, Jarrow, you were right to the other end of the country. How did you adapt to this in this early period?
I didn't seem to find it too difficult.
What about the food?
Can't remember much about the food. I don't think it would be three rosettes or anything. But it must have been adequate, and I always had a good appetite, and I probably just ate what was put before me.
What about your fellow recruits? Did they all, you know, knuckle down and just get on with it, or was there anybody?
Yeah, no, nobody stood out as being a rebel or anything like that at that stage. As I say, you know, being mostly young, or about, they would all be about my age. Some might have been a little older, but you know, there were no rebels or barrack room lawyers or anything at that stage.
What about, you know, other veterans who talked about the so-called awkward squad, somebody that just couldn't put the feet in the right place and so on. Was there any of that in your hood?
Well, there was one chap who seemed to have difficulty putting his left arm forward when the other leg was going forward, and he used to get into a bit of a tangle with his marching. He was the only one I remember, but we were quite a smart platoon, because at the end of the 6 weeks, there was a competition for drill, and we won the competition. So on the whole, the platoon must have been fairly smart.
Now, in terms of smartness and turnout, other veterans have talked about, you know, how difficult it was to look smart in the battle dress, and, you know, get the boots polished up and all the rest of it. What did you and your fellow recruits feel about, you know, the amount of effort that you had to put into that? Did you feel it was effort well spent?
Oh, no, we thought it was a waste of time. No, we didn't think it was an effort well spent, no.
Could you just describe how the process of how you did get these boots and this battle dress into a smart condition, what you had to do
with them? At the beginning you weren't supposed to polish your boots when we started. You had to dubbin them. And of course you couldn't get a polish with dubbin on. But with the belt and anything else, that the buttons on the great coat and things like that, you had to keep polishing all the time. But I was fortunate, talking about fitting and so on, I was fortunate in getting a great coat, which was a real beauty. And I remember at Chichester, there was a parade to go to church, and the smartest ones on parade were let off. And with my smart great coat, I was one of the ones selected to be allowed to go back and do what you want instead of having to turn up at church. And I remember one of the other characters, when they came back from church, saying, "Oh, you're unlucky, aren't you? You should have been better turned out. You weren't allowed to go to church." And he hadn't realised that it was really an honour not to go to church. And I remember later on, at Bransworth, that people used to ask to borrow this great coat if they went on guard duty, in the hope of being allowed not to go on guard and just having to do runabouts instead of guard duties.
Was that the so-called stick system? Was that in operation during these 6 weeks? Were you assigned guard duty?
I can't remember doing any guard duties during the first 6 weeks, no.
Mm. Now, you mentioned the smart greatcoat. Now, was that just a fluke that it was smart?
Yes, I think it must have been a fluke.
So, in general terms, of the quality of the kit that you're issued with, was there was a variation in quality then between trousers?
Well, there seemed to be with this greatcoat, because some of them seemed very sloppy and loose and whatnot, and this seemed quite smart and tight-fitting.
Was there any kind of swapping of kit between soldiers? You know, borrow items?
No, never came across any swapping of kit.
What about things going missing and you know, minor bits of theft and so on? Did you have to be careful about things like that?
I suppose you did have to be careful about things like that, but I only had one example of it, and that wasn't until we got to Bransworth when we were training in for Signal Platoon. There was an example there of it. Shall I go on with
that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was caught stealing money from other people in the barrack room. And being big and daft looking, I was detailed to take him across where he could be locked up. And I was told on the way something had to happen to him. And I remember that he sort of made a move at one stage, and I turned him round and clipped him one. And that's how we got him to the lock-up, as it were. So that was the only example I had of things being stolen.
So nothing in this first 6 weeks?
No.
Now, do any of your NCOs stand out from this very early period of training? I mean, were they good NCOs, or was there anybody that you thought, well, he's good, he's doing this right, or conversely, this man's gone around it the wrong way? Any memories on that score?
In the initial training,
there was the
usual Sergeant Corporal, Lance Corporal, and I remember they were quite good, very good. And at Bransworth also, there was a corporal mainly in charge, and he was very good too, training for the Signal Platoon.
Now, still at Chichester, what about inspections of the barrack hood? And how you had to prepare for them?
Yes, you had to lay all the kit out in military order, as it were, and make sure they were all tidy. The blankets were folded with so many fools this way, that way, and the other way. And your boots were spare boots, polished at the bottom, and all that sort of thing.
And who would explain all that to you before the first inspection that you had to do?
Well, I suppose it was the Lance Corporal in charge who came and told you and had a look to make sure that you were doing it right.
And when you had these inspections, were they okay? Did the hunters as a group pass these things?
Yeah, I can't remember anybody being singled out and told to do it again or anything like that.
Now, as you progress through training, I suppose one of the reasons for these kind of inspections would be to make it a work as a team, to get a, you know, common space, all kind of organised. Did you feel that you were coming together as like a trained group of men? Or did you still feel like a bunch of civilians being put in uniform? What did you feel at this stage?
I think by the end, when we were at the end of this 6 weeks training, and we were going in for this platoon competition for drill, etc., I think it was about at that stage that I felt, well, you know, we're together as a group and we're working as a group, and we've got a group ambition to win this thing, and I felt more like it then.
Now, you mentioned the square bash and the drill. About how long in the 6 weeks was it before they actually gave you a rifle and learned you to shoot the rifle?
Well, I suppose it was more or less straight away.
And how did you cope with that then?
Didn't seem to be any bother.
Were you a good shot?
No. Only once I said, well, you know, I've got this eye is the bad eye, and that's the eye you're looking at. And I said to the sergeant, you know, will I have trouble with this eye, with shooting? And he said, well, let's try it. And we tried it on the range. And for some unknown reason, I hit about three bull's eyes. And he says, well, there can't be much wrong with it. But I was never what you could call a good shot. But of course, in the signal platoon, you had Tommy guns in the when I got to the 16th Battalion.
Now, at this stage, were you introduced to automatic? I mean, you mentioned the Bren.
Mm.
Were you introduced to the Tommy gun at this stage or not?
I can't remember being introduced to the Tommy gun at that stage, no.
And what about the Bren gun? Were you true? You mentioned the bits of taking it apart.
That's right.
Did they also teach you to did you also go on the range with them?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And how what did you make of that?
Just the same as the rifle, you know, didn't seem to be much different, really.
And what other weapons were you taught during the first 6 weeks?
That was all I remember in the 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. There's no two-inch mortar? Nothing.
I don't remember two-inch mortar, and I can't remember quite when we were trained with the 36th grenade either, whether it was, it could have been in that first 6 weeks, mm-hmm. that you went onto a range and threw a 36-inch grenade, yes.
There's any memories of that?
No, I remember throwing the grenade, and there's a sergeant in the slit trench with you, and you know, I was busy looking to see what the grenade exploded like, and he said he'd better get down now.
What about route marches? Were you introduced to route marches at this stage in this first 6 weeks?
Yes, I think we did have marches, yes.
And, I mean, obviously, you weren't at the Durham Light Infantry yet.
No.
So just to anticipate when we talk about the DLI, but was the drill that you were doing now obviously wasn't light infantry drill?
That's right.
That was something that was different. So yeah. it was a slower pace.
Slower march.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about when we talk about the DLI, we'll talk about the contrast. But at this stage, about how long would a route march, how long were these route marches that they were setting
up? I wouldn't like to say how many miles there were. But at all.
Then did people cope with that?
Well, some did and some didn't. some were unfortunate that they had bad feet and didn't take the wood too well at all, and others didn't have any trouble.
And how are you?
Oh, I'd never had any trouble with route marches. No.
Again, I mean, you mentioned this business with your greatcoat. Was that similar with boots, that you'd be lucky? Some people would be lucky with the boots and some people wouldn't. Or that's or
that's possible. I hadn't thought of it like that. Thought that the boots would fit when you tried them on. Some people used to say that you'd try them on, put them on, and the best thing to do was to wade through some water afterwards, and then they would sort of dry to your feet and fit better.
Now, so there's route marches, weapons training, drill. What about so-called field craft? Did they introduce you to that? You know, how to like read the landscape and how to use the landscape.
I can't remember having that there. No, later on, but not there.
Do any characters stand out amongst your fellow recruits at this stage? Anybody from a particularly novel kind of background or novel way of?
No, I just remember one chap who was he seemed to take to the Bren gun like a natural.
And, in what way?
He could, you know, strip it down and put it together in next to no time. But the rest just seemed to be, you know, a group of ordinary chaps from different walks of life.
What was your morale like, you know, young men in the army?
I should say pretty good.
And you would be, you've mentioned in the early stage you were confined to barracks. Now, after that, how would it work in terms of being able to leave the camp and, you know, have a night out and so on? How would that be organised? Would that be something you'd have to apply for or something? Or would you have certain nights off how would that work?
No, I just remember that after a certain length of time, I don't know, it was a fortnight or 3 weeks, you were allowed out of barracks. I suppose they wanted you to look like a soldier before they put you on the streets round about, and you were allowed to go out after that. But, I just remember going into town and coming back, more or less. Still not a pub man.
What about your fellow soldiers?
They took the same sort of attitude.
Now, you mentioned you were involved in football, in sport, as a civilian. At this stage, was there any opportunity to, you know, play competitive sports? Was anything kind of properly organised?
No, I just remember one football match at Chichester. That's all I can remember about sport there. I remember playing football once.
What about physical training? Was that built into your daily syllabus?
Oh, yes.
And what would that involve?
Well, the usual, you know, arm stretch, arms out, you know, legs up, legs out, and so on.
Looking at your fellow recruits, do they all look as if they could cope with, you know, being a soldier? Was there anybody that maybe was overweight or... Or did you all, how the selection process worked is what I'm asking, you know, did you?
No, they didn't all look as though they would take to it naturally. Some, you know, didn't look as though they'd really ever make soldiers. But there again, you're not sure, are you?
And after the 6 weeks, apparently you'd won this competition. Yes. So were you surprised by that, how you had?
I think I was surprised by it. I didn't expect to. I don't think any of us expected to, but it's one of these things you try to do and hope that you'll succeed.
Now, you were down in Chichester from Jarrow. Now, just as a young man, was that a big shock, you know, being so far away from home? Could you cope with that?
I think I coped with it pretty well. I can't remember being homesick or anything like that.
And what about your fellow recruits? Do they all?
They merged in, yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember where these people were from? Anybody? Does anybody stand
no,
out?
No, I can't. I can't remember where they were from.
But they definitely all weren't all from Sussex, and they definitely weren't, you know, definitely very few people from the North East, as you said.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Now, you did this 6 weeks period of training. You ended up in the signals. Had you given any thought specifically that you wanted to be a signaller at this stage, or did that come later? Or had you given any thought of, you know, other preferences like, you know, a driver or whatever, rifleman, you know, had the various skills, had those things pass through your mind? Or did you, again, did you just let...
I just let things happen as they happened, and I wasn't aware then that you could say, look, I want to be a signaller, or I want to be in the mortar platoon, or anything like that.
And in terms of the assessments that the authorities made of you as individual soldiers, were you aware of you know how they were assessing you? Or did you just get on with it?
I wasn't aware of how we were being assessed at all.
But somehow they must have.
Well, they had these tests when you, as I say, when you are going into the army, of maths and English and so on. You know, so many questions to ask in a given stated amount of time. And I suppose they could get some kind of psychological aspect from that.
Now, again, just something that... another kind of issue in terms of the army. Had you ever thought of possibly of considered trying to become an officer? Had that passed through your mind?
No, I can't say it had. No.
And from the authorities' point of view, did they ever approach you and at this stage and say,
"Do you want to be an officer?" No, they didn't.
And what about? During this initial six-week period, there would be no promotions, wouldn't there not?
That's right.
Yeah. Anything else from this very first period that we haven't talked about? Any other things that stick out in your mind?
I don't think so. One of the troubles is, of course, that your memory fades, doesn't it? And you can't remember really day-to-day happenings. It just becomes rather a blur. So I can't remember anything devastating happening during that period.
So, you did the 6 weeks. What happened then?
I was transferred to Bransworth and given training as a signaller. And before you asked me, I was amazed that I should be sent down to Chichester for 6 weeks and then transferred to Bransworth to be trained as a signaller. I thought, well, why on earth couldn't I have been kept up here all the time? Why send me down there and then drag me all the way back again? That was my main feeling then.
And was it a surprise to be sent? Because obviously it's not very far from...
It was a surprise, yes. As I say, I was amazed. I couldn't see the logic in it.
And just before we leave Chichester, I mean, obviously that was... more or less on the front line, on the, you know, the south coast.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember any air raids or any activities of that?
No, I can't remember any air raids there at all. Mm.